Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. When people outside of our state think of the, quote, Illinois accent, they might be thinking of this.
What is God's role in this? Obviously, he's rooting for the Bears.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have put them in Chicago.
That's right.
That is the Saturday Night Live sketch from 1991, The Bears, with Chris Farley and Mike Myers. I will stop, I promise. As our next guest will tell you, that's just one of many accents you'll find in Illinois. Matthew Gordon is with us now. He's a linguist who has studied Midwest dialects and language change and is a professor of English at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Or is that the University of Missouri in Columbia? Either way, Professor Gordon, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, very happy to be here. Thanks.
So would you say that Illinois has an accent?
Yeah, certainly not just a single accent. In fact, I think it's probably pretty difficult to find any state that has a single accent. But Illinois in particular, like a lot of Midwestern states, has a real mixture of accents.
And is it, I guess this idea, how is that divided up? Is it an urban-rural thing or more just, you know, generally geographic across the state?
Yeah, when linguists look at these kinds of issues, we often try to distinguish between what we might call traditional regional dialects and then some more current patterns. So the traditional regional differences are based largely on the settlement, American settlement, by English speakers. So in that sense, Illinois is very much like Ohio and Indiana, and even Missouri to an extent, where you have really three different large regions represented at the extreme northern tier of counties, including Chicago. So basically anything above Interstate 80, that would represent the northern dialect region, which extends, you know, across the Great Lakes and into places like New York and even New England. And then from basically I-80 all the way down to extreme southern Illinois, you have what would broadly be defined as the Midland dialect region. And then in the southern tier, right along the Ohio River and places like Cairo and even Carbondale, you have more of a southern or south Midland dialect area.
Okay, so those are some of the dialect lines. Now let's talk about pronunciations within those dialects. And one of the examples that you use is or that I've heard used, I guess, anyways, is the words caught versus caught in the idea that they're merging. Can you explain a little bit more about exactly what words I'm using and what that's about?
Yeah. Just for people who are who have this merger, we're talking about the word C-O-T, like the sort of cheap bed, caught, and the past tense of catch, C-A-U-G-H-T. So those were, and it's, of course, it's not just those words, but it's the vowels that are represented in those words. So it would also include words like don, D-O-N, and dawn, D-A-W-N. So any of those, so in many parts of the country, those are two separate vowel sounds, ah versus an aw. Increasingly in large parts of the country, they're sort of merged into a single vowel sound. So rather than distinct don versus dawn or caught versus caught, you get don and caught.
And I was just going to ask if there are certain regions of Illinois that are more likely to have this merger of sounds as opposed to others.
Yeah. So that particular feature is very widespread. So it basically cuts across the middle of Illinois. So anywhere in that traditional Midland dialect region, it would be very common. But it's important to note, this is a fairly recent change that's happening. So this is something where you might find the people in central Illinois, if they're over the age of 50 or 60, they might have a distinction, whereas younger people would be much more likely to not have a distinction. So that makes it a very interesting pattern, because it's a good example of a change that's happening sort of within a single person's lifetime, and you can really trace it that way. It's also interesting to me as a linguist, because it's one of these features that people aren't really aware of. I'm sure there are lots of pronunciation differences and grammatical differences and even word differences that people point to and say, oh, you must be from such and such place because of the way you said that. this is not one that people really notice, right? It's kind of very much under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if we can hear it now. We've enlisted the help of some of our friends in the Illinois Public Radio system, and we're going to start up north. We've got Yvonne, who is a reporter at WNIJ Radio in DeKalb. Let's see if she has the Caught versus Caught merger.
My name is Yvonne Booz. I grew up in the Chicagoland area. Caught. Caught.
Again, that was Yvonne from Chicagoland. Now we have her colleague, Jenna Dooley, also at our partner station, WNIJ. And let's see if Jenna has the merger.
My name is Jenna Dooley. I grew up in Orion, Illinois, near the Quad Cities. Caught. Caught.
So I think it sounds to me like neither Jenna, originally from the Quad Cities, or Yvonne from Chicagoland have that caught merger. They seem to pronounce those words distinctly. Is that what you hear?
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's very short, and it's often difficult to hear in isolation like that, but I think you're right. They seem to have a difference.
Okay, so Jenna is from northwestern Illinois. Yvonne is from northern Illinois. What are some of the things that set a northern Illinois accent apart from, say, a southern Illinois accent?
Well, the traditional one, which is kind of represented in that Saturday Night Live skit of the Bears, right? The sort of stereotypical Chicago accent illustrates this phenomenon that linguists call the Northern Cities shift. Shift meaning the changing patterns of vowels there. And so it would include things like the changing of the a sound of a word like cat. So instead of pronouncing cat with your tongue low in the mouth, it might be raised higher, so you might say, instead of cat, you might say cat, right? And another feature that's very dominant there is the ah vowel of a word like lock. So instead of lock, it might sound more like lack. So those are just a couple features. It's actually a fairly complex issue that involves six different vowels sort of moving around there. But that's a feature that's found in traditional Chicago speech. And across the northern tier of Illinois, it's also common in places further north in Wisconsin and in Michigan and so forth.
You know, I do seem to remember my mom giving me a little guff when I would sort of verge into the Chicago pronunciation of the city name. So this is not about a Chicago accent versus the rest of Illinois accent. There are more than two accents in the state.
Sure. Yeah.
So we have a few more examples here, this time from our public radio friends in the southern part of the state. We asked them to pronounce a specific list of words so we could hear the vowel sounds. Here they are.
My name is Kevin Boucher, and I'm a reporter, one of the reporters, at WSIU Radio in Carbondale, Illinois, in the southern part of the state. I grew up in Murfreesboro, basically, and here is how I would pronounce the following words. Caught, cot, cat, bit, bet, and butt.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Fuller. I grew up in Carterville, Illinois. The words you've asked me to say are caught, cot, cat, bit, bet, and butt. Thanks.
And here is Dan Mihalopoulos from WBEZ in Chicago.
This is Dan Mihalopoulos from WBEZ Chicago. I was born in Chicago, went to high school in Des Plaines, out by O'Hare Airport, and let me just say, caught, cot, cat, bit, bet, and butt.
So would you be able to distinguish a Southern Illinois accent from a Northern Illinois accent based on their pronunciation of these words?
Well, with some of these, there's some elements of that. Of course, it's important to note that not only are there age differences with some of these features, but of course, there's a general tendency for education and social class to play a role. So a lot of the more traditional regional features are more common among less educated people, among working class people. Education tends to, as I'm sure many people have experienced, it tends to wipe out or discourage people from their sort of rural or local identity in their dialect usage there.
Why is that? Is that a function of teachers or parents and people saying, like, you know, we're gonna leave this behind when we move to the big city, you know, we don't want to sound rural or something like that? Or why is it that it's a class or education issue, as you said.
Yeah, I think education in general does a lot to try to discourage, to try to promote a homogenous form of language. It thinks a lot in terms of correctness and incorrectness. And when that comes to regional pronunciations, that's just generally discouraged. So I think it's part of a broader phenomenon that fits in with a sort of general approach to English language teaching in our educational system.
So if you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Matt Gordon, a professor of linguistics at the University of Missouri, about Illinois accents, regional dialects and accents in Illinois. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about accents crossing racial and ethnic boundaries. I wonder if migration patterns, like the great migration of African Americans to Chicago in the 1900s, affected accents in Illinois, or if we're seeing influence from more recent immigrants from Latin or Asian countries that have played a role here.
Yeah, that's a hugely important factor. In a lot of these features, like the northern cities shift that I mentioned, that is found primarily only among white speakers, at least in the Chicago area. I did a little bit of research a number of years ago looking at this. So African Americans and Latino speakers don't generally have these features. So they're more traditional feature of white speech there. So those differences are common, in part for the reasons that you mentioned. So the Great Migration in the early part of the 20th century brought a lot of people from the South, a lot of African American people from the South. And so there remain ties between African-American speech patterns in northern places, St. Louis and Chicago and so forth, and the southern roots. So a lot of the features that we associate with southern speech are also found in African-American speech in the north. And that's just because of the fact that they go back just a couple generations to southern communities. There's also a fair number of white speakers who moved north for factory jobs and so forth. From Appalachia and so forth. And you see those same differences between the people who relatively recent second or third generation Appalachians in places like Detroit or even Chicago. And their speech would be separate from people who have been there for more than just a couple generations. So those kinds of racial and ethnic differences are a huge factor. In terms of this, because again, it makes sense when you think about the fact that the language and accent is a huge part of this, is a marker of your identity, and racial and ethnic identities, and just like other aspects of our identity, are something that we like to mark, and so it makes sense that it would come out in our speech.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, it is a sense of identity, and sometimes, I guess, and this maybe gets into the class thing you were mentioning a moment ago, people want to leave past identities behind. We got a tweet from someone who said, "I have the accent of an ex-small town girl trying real hard not to say crick or warsh." I guess meaning creek or wash would be the way those are phrased. I wonder if you have a view on the pronunciation of our state name. Is it Illinois? Illinois? Is that just a simple mispronunciation, or is that evidence of some linguistic shift underfoot?
Yeah, that is a very popular topic, isn't it? Yeah. So that one's interesting because, of course, you also get it at the other end, right? Some people say Illinois with an S or a Z at the end. But for the first vowel sound, yeah, that's part of a larger set. So there's a small set of words where the I appears before an L. So you have Illinois, but you also have milk and milk, and sometimes you get pillow and pillow. So what's important to note about that is it's always before an L sound that you get that kind of variation. So that tells us that it's part of a larger sort of historical set. That one's pretty well known. It's pretty common across the Midwest, the Midland area there. I grew up in Nebraska, and I certainly have that in my own speech with pillow and Illinois, not so much milk, but So it's a pretty widespread phenomenon.
So we've got just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. English is always evolving. English speakers no longer sound Shakespearean. And I guess it's mostly, or I wonder, is it mostly in our pronunciation, or, you know, what is the most active way that language is changing now in Illinois or in the broader Midwest?
Well, all aspects of language change. They change, you know, they're always in a state of change. I think pronunciation is probably a very active area. When it comes to language change, probably the most productive area is in terms of vocabulary. There are new terms and new words that are getting used. And with the mass communication that we have today, with Twitter, with other kinds of internet media, the spread of these words is much quicker. So there's been a lot of interesting research going on in linguistics where people have traced the spread of words over things like Twitter or other kinds of social media. And you can see where previously only the cool people who lived in a particular area knew what the neat word was for something. Now, if they use it on Twitter, then people even in rural Illinois and Nebraska and so forth can pick up on these cool slang terms. So that's just accelerated tremendously, the spread of new words and new usages. But pronunciation continues to evolve and continues to be used as a marker of local identity for sure.
That's the cat's pajamas, as my relatives would say. last question, and only about 30 seconds left. Do you think that regional accents among native English speakers are disappearing? Are we going to have a Chicago accent or a Murfreesboro accent generations from now?
Certainly, there will be some differences. They probably won't be the same ones that we're used to. A lot of very localized speech features are dying out, but new changes are happening all the time. So there'll always be differences based on region, based on other sorts of social identities within a particular region as well. So there'll be lots of work for linguists to do.
Well, we will look forward to continuing to follow your work in the years and maybe generations ahead. Matt Gordon is a professor of linguistics at the University of Missouri. Thank you so much for being here with us on the 21st today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be looking at the environmental effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of us are not commuting to work anymore. Has that been good for our air quality and the environment? We will look at the science underlying some of the claims we've heard just ahead after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.